The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where James Bond loses a woman that he loves, leading him to spiral into depression and really search his feelings for, oh no, he's just making jokes and killing people.
All right. That sounds about right. The movie that's so 90s that the only way for the bad guy to control the entire world is through print media. Newspapers.
The movie where Terry Hatcher took a break from fucking Superman to fuck James Bond, proving my theory, Terry Hatcher's pussy is amazing.
This is Tomorrow Never Dies on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast countdown the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are talking about the 1997 007, Tomorrow Never Dies.
We kept saying, is it World Is Not Enough, or is it Tomorrow Never Dies?
Right.
And then you would say, it's World Is Not Enough. No, wait, Tomorrow Never Dies. And then I was like, wait, which one is it again?
Yeah.
And then when I looked it up, I looked up World Is Not Enough.
And we started watching it.
And then you're like, no, wait, it's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Which also, by the way, we came up with a better title for. It's Tomorrow Dies Today.
Yeah, it's perfect.
So good.
I mean, the name of the newspaper in it is
Tomorrow.
So, and Tomorrow does eventually die by the end of the movie. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. I mean, maybe the newspaper survives. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so, no.
But yeah, Tomorrow Dies Today sounds a lot better.
It's a cool name.
You know, you could still have the Sheryl Crow song, which is interesting that they went with Sheryl Crow.
It is weird that they went with Sheryl Crow.
So, I mean, it's 1997. This movie made $125 million.
Yeah.
$300,000.
$125
she's
in
huge.
America. Sheryl Crow's big deal.
This is around the time, yeah, Sheryl Crow's like big around this
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Soaking up the sun and, I don't know. First cut is the deepest and all that shit.
Like pretending like pop music is country music?
Yeah.
But it's not. It was a lot of pop music.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what every country artist has been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
true. Well, yeah, since after Dwight Yoakam and Brooks
yeah,
and Dunn.
Yeah, pretty much from like 1999 on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that she did the song. It was actually a pretty good song, but it doesn't
yeah,
sound
no,
like her.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was her at first.
You thought it was Gwen Stefani at first.
I did.
Which, 97, that would have made sense, too. That was, like, right at the like, height of
No Doubt.
No Doubt.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And it would have probably worked out for her, I want out of this band right away.
Right. I want to be a big star myself.
To
yeah.
get a James Bond song.
To get a James Bond movie.
The movie starts off... All right, so this is a movie about, like, five badass action sequences.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, I don't know, like...
And then there's some bullshit about satellites
guy.
And tycoons yeah. and media, and yeah.
Yeah, this movie, the action in this movie is amazing.
The action movie is really top-notch. It's interesting, too, because this movie, and we're probably going to, you know, just spooge all over it.
Yeah.
But this movie, at the time, you know, got okay reviews.
Yeah.
And if you look it up on IMDb, it's like at a 6. You know,
yeah,
people
yeah,
are
yeah.
like, ah, it's all right, whatever, it's fine.
Like, it's a very forgettable James Bond movie.
Yeah, but I feel like the same way that we talked about the last couple James Bonds is that when you watch it today, movies just, like, the tactile and just the innocence is the wrong word, but the, I think the combination of the tactile effects and
yes.
action scenes and the combination of James Bond just being... a fucking dope-ass, charming motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
And being unapologetic for just being like, yeah, this dude's cool, right?
Yeah. Definitely the effects are... because there's some CGI in here. It's pretty solid CGI.
Yeah, there's a few...
and it's a lot of, like,
CGI.
Flying in the sky shit.
But mostly it's
everything
either
else,
models
though,
or it's, like, squibs and stunt dudes.
Yeah, everything yeah. else is, like, really fucking dope stunts.
Yeah.
So even looking back at it and being like, yeah, the movie wasn't great. Now you watch it and you're like, those stunts are fucking amazing. Like,
right.
I miss that. Like, we miss
not just having a fucking floating a Robert cartoon. Downey Jr. face
on top of robots. Iron Man.
Yeah. So just on that, it got a lot of points.
For sure.
Got a lot of points from me. And
the fact that they didn't feel the need, I mean, he obviously quips some because he's James Bond. He's a quippy mm-hmm. guy, but it's not overly like funny. And it's also not overly sappy. Like, he has the scene where Terry Hatcher dies where it's a little sad, but he doesn't really care, and we don't really care.
No, he immediately shoots a guy in the face right after.
It's fine.
And he makes a joke before shooting that guy in the face.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all right. He's James Bond. He's just feeling it out, man.
Yeah, we're here for the adventure. We're having a good time. James Bond is having a good time. The fact that they didn't feel the need to make it, like, sour and depressing and, like, oh, he's got problems.
Yeah.
His wife died and his child is kidnapped and all this.
I do like it when they add all this weight. I do like it when James Bond starts off really happy in a movie because I'm like, oh, shit's going to go down. Like, why did you make him marry a lady? You know she's going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this movie actually starts off pretty perfect. And it's government is watching this Russian, hidden base. And they're about to take it out because
it's not even Russian. It's like terrorists that are buying stuff from Russians.
From Russia, yeah. Because Russians notorious for just selling to whoever.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit. Especially because they had all these like people that were like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to make some money.
Yeah, so they're doing that. So they're MI6.
And then someone else was like, well, what about communism, though? We're all equal. And he's like, yeah, shut up. I want money.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, communism, yeah. As long as I'm richer than everybody else.
then I'm fine with it.
Then fine. Yeah,
it's all good. I mean, we're all equal, yeah, et cetera. No, but yeah, I want more money and power than everybody else. Yeah.
Exactly.
So if we could just do that.
How communism. No, I understand. No,
I get it.
But I want to be richer and more powerful than everybody else.
Than everybody else. As long as you report to me and do what I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then communism works perfectly. Yeah, that's exactly what happens in these fucking...
Yep.
So, MI6 is watching them, and they're like, oh my god, they have these fucking, like...
They had nukes.
They were like, we gotta blow all these planes that they're selling to terrorists and shit.
Yeah, because they're selling them, like, MiGs and missiles and all this shit, yeah.
So they send them a giant... Torpedo. Well, it's a missile. Sorry. A giant missile to that base. And then they see that they have nukes. So they're like, oh, we can't fucking blow that up anymore. What do we do now? Well, cut to a guy looking for a fucking light for his cigarette.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
It's a perfect way to introduce James Bond for this movie. Like, everything after this movie, it just stays on this one, like, feeling.
Yeah.
And it's the hand comes in, lights a cigarette, and then... Cut to Pierce Brosnan and he punches the dude out.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking cool.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. And then he's just there.
Filthy habit.
Yeah. He gets equipment. So the whole rest of the movie is just that.
Yep.
Like
it tells you everything you need to know in this opening sequence. It really does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's what the best James Bond movies do. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of the cold open.
Oh, the cold opening, yeah.
Is like, here's what you need to feel.
Yeah. This is what James Bond is going to be like in this movie.
Yep.
Like, even if you go back to the Roger Moore ones, yeah, you start
same
off,
thing. Yep. Where he's fighting Cubans and stealing planes and shit. It's the same stuff.
Or he's, like, doing weird psychedelic shit in, like, the fucking old...
The more, like, crazy ones.
Yeah,
like
the more
Moonraker
crazy ones and stuff.
Shit.
And you're like, oh, this is going to get weird.
Yeah, it's cool.
And the bad guy is going to have a weird fucking weapon that he throws and shit. Like,
right.
Or metal teeth. We don't know.
Yeah. Or he'll just be an albino.
Which we do get one in here.
Yep.
So he punches and then he starts just fucking kicking ass.
Just kicking ass. Dude.
He's wrecking fucking trucks.
He really wrecks the motherfuckers
in
this movie.
The whole thing, there were all 150 dudes were no match for one James Bond.
It really does, especially because we talked about a couple of the Roger Moore ones back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back into our back catalog.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger Moore kicked some ass.
Yeah.
But I feel like they really raised the stake with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. So Roger Moore was much more the drinking fucking like suave.
Yeah. He was like suave. He'd maybe beat up like one or two guys.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, two guys would come to kill him, and he'd, like, beat those two guys up. Pierce Brosnan is taking on armies.
Yeah, and he's killing all of them.
Yeah.
So the missile is coming, and there's that great line where they're like, what is he doing? And then M's like, his job.
Yeah.
And also, like, nobody's like, how did he get there? Or, like, why is he there? Or, like, when did we send him in there?
James goddamn Bond,
Why do we send a missile if we knew James Bond was there? Like, nobody asks any questions. They just know his job. So then he steals the fucking plane with the nukes.
Yeah, flies on out of there.
And takes off with it, which is also super baller. Like, he kills everybody. He beats up everybody, takes the nukes. Then there's a, he doesn't know that there's a guy hiding in the plane that tries to choke him. And then he kills this guy.
Oh, in the coolest way. Oh my God, this scene is so cool.
Yeah, like he's getting choked the whole time. There's another plane trying to shoot him down.
Right.
So he's like doing weird maneuvers and almost crashing into mountains. And then
and he's like flying with his fucking thighs like a soccer mom that's putting on her makeup.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like a drunken dad that's he's holding two beers.
Yeah. Maybe that's how James Bond practices.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about the list of James Bond priorities.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking is really high
pretty
up there.
Up there. Yeah.
So then he manages to get to the eject button, which I was like, he's going to fly out? That's crazy. He's got nukes on that thing. Nope. He ejects the guy behind him out.
Straight into the other plane that he has flown underneath.
It's so and he smashes through the metal bottom of that plane.
Right into the
seat. it's fucking awesome.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, and then obviously that blows up the plane because there's a big hole in it.
Yeah.
There's a big human sized hole in it. He's mushed the other seat out because he has to fit in there,
Yeah, yeah.
He blows up and it's really fucking cool and funny.
And that's when I was like, this movie is gonna fucking rule.
Yeah. Yep. That was a moment where we're like, all right, I know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about.
Then it goes into, of course, the Sheryl Crow song and classic James Bond opening sequence stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's actually a really nice, there's some questionable CGI in that opener. There's a lot of numbers flying around.
Yeah.
But it's actually a really nice, just like most other ones, a really nice opening sequence with a lot of cool like kaleidoscope imagery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I liked it quite a bit.
You can't go wrong with a good James Bond opening. Do you have a favorite James Bond opening song?
Ooh. I really like Thunderball. I think that's a great song.
Mm.
Just because I like Jack White so much.
I do like that
Quantum
song
of Solace
a lot. The
song
with him and Alicia Keys.
Yeah,
that's a great song.
I like that song quite a bit. Goldfinger I like too.
Yeah, Goldfinger's pretty fun.
That's a fun song, yeah.
Chris Cornell one is solid for Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah. That is a really good...
Actually, I like Chris Cornell, so...
But that's a really good song. And then also, it helps that the movie's great.
Yeah, too. That too.
And it was a really cool, like, return to form type of deal.
So this is the third Bond movie we've covered, and spoiler alert, we'll be covering another Bond movie very soon.
Yeah.
But this is the third one we've covered on the podcast. I think this is the best opening song.
Probably, actually, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it was Octopussy?
Yep. And For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. This was a really good song.
Yeah, pretty solid.
And you can get like the sense of where it's kind of going. And I feel like now we're still carrying on that same style, which is, much more of like a subdued, sexy...
Yeah, it's supposed to be for the most part, at least, when I think of a James Bond opening, like you said, subdued, sexy, kind of jazzy almost. What's the word I'm looking for? Like a velvety, like seductive quality.
Svelte,
yeah, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I like the Billie Eilish one, but it's just sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad James Bond song, which matches the movie a little bit, but it's just sad.
Just sad.
Yeah, what about you?
We did the same. Same. Yeah. I mean, Jack White, Alicia Keys, that one's really good. Chris Cornell. I feel like I need to go back and re-listen to some of the old ones. But, there's also the Weird Al one in Spy Hard.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. That's a very good one.
So you're going to go with
hard.
The Weird Al?
I think I'm going to go Weird Al Spy Hard from the movie Spy Hard.
All right. That's fair.
Is it? Like, it's probably not.
Tina Turner did Goldeneye.
Mm.
And I remember that being a pretty good song.
So we were talking about this while we were watching the movie. I haven't seen Goldeneye since the 90s. And having watched this, I was like, I really want to go back and watch Goldeneye.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about Goldeneye. Goldeneye didn't make enough money. Yeah.
It finished just outside the top 100. I think it's in like the top 125.
But I do remember that Tina Turner song being really good.
Yep, that I believe it.
Yeah. So I'll put that up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the song is pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is. So then we jump right into like what the bad guy is doing. It's weird that they went with Media Tycoon. Like, it's a weird evil guy.
It's weird that they went with a Media Tycoon in 97 and not like 2007.
Yes. Yeah. When there was like, the news are just lying to people.
Right.
Yeah. No, this was like early Rupert Murdoch, maybe. So that's why.
A little bit, I guess. But maybe it was just like the overall, because you got to remember the 90s also were the technology is going to ruin us.
That's true.
And I mean, they were right. It just took a long time. But,
yeah.
So, you know, you had the net and you had, what was it, conspiracy theory and
yeah,
enemy of the state.
Yeah, everybody was terrified of that shit.
Yeah.
How much power do you get? And all
right,
that stuff.
Right. And so this was like the natural extension of that was like, oh, the most powerful villain, the one controlling the media.
But he doesn't, like, I get the point where he's like controlling the media to help him get richer and to also like he uses it to like politically mess with governments and stuff like
sure.
that. But he also has a giant underwater drill that will just like it's fucking well, it's not
you at know, the end of the day he's a James Bond
yeah,
villain,
exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
He has a giant underwater drill that will just drill in through the side of a fucking boat or a submarine and kill all soldiers on there. So
that's
he's still
true.
Like a way evil he's still like a Lex Luthor guy.
Right.
That they're just like, what if Rupert Murdoch, what if we're like Bezos or, you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
they're just like decide to be evil one day.
Yeah.
And it just make like a fucking giant destroyer
it would be,
machine.
Exactly. It would be funny if Zuckerberg was like, I'm, you know, this whole like messing with people's data and information and stuff, it's kind of evil.
Boring.
But what if I just
bored.
Have. A henchman wearing my fucking suit with my symbol on it,
yeah.
using drills and fucking automatic rifles and murdering people.
Mortal, what was that one where it's just like the cities are moving around?
Oh, Mortal Engines.
Mortal
yeah.
Engines, yeah. What if it's just like, you know what? I'm going to make a giant moving city
moving
that
city.
Eats other cities.
I'm coming for you, New York.
He is the richest man alive, I guess.
I don't know. Facebook yeah. City, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's funny. It goes. It goes like both fucking ways. Like it leans hard into like the media has way too much power.
Right.
And then also leans hard into like, oh, but he's an evil villain guy.
Yeah.
So he's still doing evil villain guy
it
shit.
It is that like perfect. I think it's the thing that James Bond does a lot. And it's also the thing that comics do a lot.
Yes.
Whereas like, we're going to take something that's kind of a real thing, but we're going to make it so ridiculous that it becomes a. Like a melodrama.
Yeah. And it also, like, it's big enough for our flying
for
guy.
Exactly. It's big enough fight. For, yeah, exactly, an alien Superman.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
To
fight
down.
It. Yeah, exactly. It was really funny. But that's how it starts off. So then we have this British sub that's really close to the waters of China, but
right.
not
Well,
in...
it thinks it's international water, but it's because it's... satellite.
It's being
feed,
manipulated
whatever.
By this
yeah,
type of
exactly.
Man, which we find out
so
about.
So they're
later.
Actually in Chinese water, and the Chinese are immediately like, leave or we will blow you up.
Yeah. And they're like, no, we're in international waters. And it's like, are you sure? Yeah, we're in international waters. And then again, the newspaper owner
sends a giant drill
to drill
so,
into this
which,
fucking
which
thing.
Is hilarious too, because he didn't, all he had to do, if he just messed with their thing, they were already like, we're going to fire on them if they fuck with us.
All he had to do was make them think they were national waters as they got closer to the
exactly.
coast of China.
He
could have China do it.
He could have been, exactly. He could have been back in fucking wherever, England, London, whatever he's supposed to be in.
Yeah.
He just chilling there and being like, ah, this is going to be news. Instead, he has to have a fucking albino gang with a drill
yep.
come in.
And it's an underwater drill that just makes a big hole in the sub.
And then they have another one to like launch a fucking missile at the Chinese airplanes.
Yeah. So yeah. He's like creating all this fucking drama for no reason. Well, I mean, there's a reason. And his reason is ratings and newspaper sales, which is also kind of funny.
I mean, like you said, he's a Robert Murdoch, Ted Turner type. So, you know, Ted Turner, TNT, he loves drama.
Yeah. We all, there was a point where we all kind of hated Ted Turner. He was like colorizing movies. I mean, it was cool. He just got into wrestling and shit.
Yeah,
like,
he had he had fucking Monday Night Nitro, and he was pushing all kinds of cartoons on Cartoon because he owned Cartoon Network back then too. Remember?
That's true. Yeah.
So he had all these like dope ass cartoons on Cartoon Network, and Toonami was popping off, and Adult Swim and shit. And I was like, man, Ted Turner must be a dope motherfucker.
Yeah.
He hired Hulk Hogan.
He's a cool guy, right? Yeah, he hired Hulk Hogan.
He hired Hulk Hogan.
He brought Hulk Hogan over from
to like leg drop some motherfuckers
and to be
man.
A bad
I'm
guy.
Into it. Yeah,
he hired Hulk to be a bad guy, which was crazy because he was the all American hero that
he
we
was.
Had all been waiting for. He helped us make it through the 80s.
That's Hulk true.
Hogan, yeah.
He helped us beat the Russians.
Yeah, he did. I mean, not as much as Rocky did.
I mean, obviously not as much. I mean, nobody helped us beat the Russians as much as Rocky.
As much as Rocky did. Yeah. He solved that fucking problem.
He solved that shit.
But yeah, but you know, or he helped like Sergeant Slaughter and shit. He had
that's true.
Very
yeah.
un-American
he
enemies.
Helped up the G.I. Joes, and they were all American, obviously.
And also Hulk Hogan was powered by us.
That's true.
He would be losing a match.
And then through the cheers of the fans.
Yeah, the fans. Yeah. He would get enough power. We were like his fucking spinach
that's
to
true.
Popeye.
That's true.
So it's not
like
Hulk Hogan.
It's like the spirit bomb in DBZ. We sent him our energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like Hulk Hogan beat those guys.
We all lifted 500-pound Andre the Giant and body slammed
him. We did that shit.
Yeah.
Through the power of our cheers.
That's true.
Yeah. So, all right. I'll give you Ted Turner was a cool guy.
I mean, he may have been a piece of shit. I don't know.
Millionaire Ted Turner. Yeah.
At the time, he seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, yeah. But then we're going more with the Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
On this one. Carver, it was his name.
But yeah. Jonathan Pryce.
Jonathan Pryce is amazing.
Who's a great actor. He's been in a million things. What was the Pope one he did with Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, The Two Popes. He's amazing.
Really good movie.
That's such a good movie for just two old dudes talking about shit. It's really good.
It's really good. He was, of course, the Sparrow in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Which had a great story that then they caught up to the books and just decided to kill him off.
Yeah, and they were like, remember all that setup we had? Gone.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't really... I can see like the writers being like, hey, what do you want to do with this? I don't know, man. Like, let's just not do it.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, that episode's pretty fucking tight. The episode where she blows up the fucking septum with Sparrow and Marjorie, and that song plays and
kills like a million people.
That's a great episode.
Yeah, that is. That's a great episode.
Probably the last great episode of Game of Thrones, actually.
Yeah, possible. Well, the Battle of the Bastards is really good.
Oh, you're right. That is after that.
And that's after that. Battle of the Bastards is pretty
yeah, that's
good.
A pretty cool episode. Yeah.
So anyway. Anthony Hopkins was supposed to play that part.
Yeah, which is funny because two popes.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really funny. But also, apparently...
Well, and hilariously, too. So Anthony Hopkins was originally supposed to play this part, left after a few days. Originally, they wanted the director of GoldenEye, Martin Campbell, to direct this movie. He left to do Mask of Zorro. Anthony Hopkins left. What did Anthony Hopkins do? Mask of Zorro, a fucking better movie.
Yeah, it is actually a better
and
movie.
And one of the great 90s action fucking great movies that no one talks about.
Yeah.
That movie rules.
You think they got together and they're like, you want to bounce?
Yeah, let's bounce. Let's go. Fuck this shit.
I got another thing.
Still writing the script.
I got another thing coming up, man. Just check it out.
Zorro.
What?
Hey, you know how we're kind of working on a legacy character that a lot of people have played and that means a lot to a lot of people. Well, let me show you this.
Yeah. Look at this. What is that? Zorro?
Yeah.
It's holy
like,
shit.
But will people be okay with that? I'm English. I'm not even Spaniard. He's like, don't worry about it, Anthony.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. We're at a point right now.
We don't care. It does not matter at all.
Like,
you're still going to fucking rule in this movie.
Did you see who was fucking Robin Hood?
Yeah.
couple years back?
That guy couldn't even do an English accent.
Yeah. He didn't even fucking try.
He didn't even try.
He just showed up and everybody was like, okay, he's Robin Hood now.
They fucking cast fucking the guy that's doing a bad Jack Nicholson as his best friend.
Yeah. And he did not do a British accent.
Not at all. Not even a slightest.
In fact, the only British accent was the bad guy in the whole ancient British folklore film.
That's true.
That means so much to British people.
Yep.
No, but apparently the production was riddled with like craziness.
It seems like an insane... For as good as this movie ended up, because this movie is actually pretty dope.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And to hear like Pierce Brosnan be like, oh my God, that was so hard to do.
Yeah. And to hear about all the delays and the fact they had to change locations, they had to change actors, they had to change stunt teams.
Yeah.
And the fact that the movie is still... really dope.
Yeah. And then like they didn't have a shooting script.
Yeah.
Like 4 days.
Which
in.
Is insane.
That's what Anthony Hopkins is like. I'm not
this
doing
this. It's a $100 million movie and they're like, we don't really have a shooting script. We're just kind of winging this shit.
Yeah, we're just gonna do like master like and two reversals and like move on.
Is this a student film? What are we doing here, guys?
Yeah. For as good as it came out, it's crazy to me that
crazy.
It was so riddled with.
Well, but obviously,
issues.
You know, you bring in the guy that did Stop Her, My Mom Will Shoot,
and he knows what to do.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, He did stop where my mom was shooting.
That's true.
An amazing action movie.
An amazing action movie. Possibly, is it? It's. I mean, it's Stallone's bottom three, right?
Yes.
It's that, Rhinestone, and I would say Rocky V, maybe?
Possibly.
Probably.
He has to have done
Rocky V is actually kind of good.
Rocky V is better now.
It's kind of good.
It's kind of good.
It's not good, but it's kind of good.
Again, hot take from the other episode. I thought Rocky V was better than Rocky IV.
That's IV. Much. That's a little much. That's a little much.
But he did. I mean, he was doing a lot of crap, too.
Yeah. I mean, he did Turner and Hooch, though. And Turner and Hooch fucking rolls. Are you talking about the director? Or are you talking about Stallone?
I'm talking Stallone.
No, I don't remember any other crap. He's nothing but gold.
Yeah, nothing but gold. He won the Spy Kids movies too, right?
He was. Yeah. I didn't see that. To be fair,
he was a bad guy. He won the Spy Kids, but it was also.
A kids movie from fucking.
It was having a lot of fun.
Our boy.
Yeah.
Our boy Rodriguez made those movies, man. No hate,
but they're kids movies, so they're fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Rocky can do whatever he wants.
That's right.
Also, yeah, like he's got a good. Because even Oscar is really good.
Oscar's actually really good. For a movie that got bashed by critics, Oscar rules.
I guess maybe. How do you feel about like Expendables 3 and shit?
I mean, look, the Expendables, we all know it goes 1, 2, 3 in that order.
Yes.
Expendables 3 is not a great movie, but it's still pretty fun.
Yeah, it's. You still wouldn't say like it's a bad movie.
No, it's still a movie I've watched like 3 times.
The same thing with Rambo 3.
Yeah, Rambo 3, again, not a great movie. Obviously not as good as Rambo 4, which fucking so good.
Oh, you know what we are forgetting that we should remember? Escape Plan 2 and 3.
Oh.
Escape Plan 2. 3 has a badass fight sequence
in
it.
3 does have a badass fight sequence.
But 2 is bad.
2 is rough.
Yeah.
I think
definitely if you go bottom 3, I think Escape Plan 2 is one of them.
It probably gets in there, so yeah.
It's like, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. Rhinestone and Escape Plan 2.
Yeah.
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 Other than that, they're pure gold.
Pure gold. Fist, underrated.
Yeah.
So underrated.
I forgot about Fist. Fist's That's a right. good movie. Fist is a good movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Even Bullet to the Head was a fun movie.
Bullet to the Head's good. I like Bullet to the Head.
Yeah.
He fights Jason Momoa with axes. That's fucking great. Yeah.
It doesn't actually, it's kind of like a saving grace.
I mean, actually, you know, I will throw one more in the Mount Rushmore of Bad Stallone. What was it? It wasn't Eyes Wide Shut.
I See You.
I See You. That's a bad movie.
Yeah, you're right. I See You.
That's a bad movie.
All right, so he's made
4 bad movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, as usual, we went off on a Stallone tangent.
Sorry.
As we tend to do. Answer the question of how many bad Stallone movies are there.
That's right.
Figured out four. Exactly. Yeah. There's probably a fifth one in there. He's done a lot of voice work and shit.
He's done some cartoons. I think he was in a voice in Ratchet and Clank, which I never saw.
Yes. And then from what I heard, it's bad.
But I assume, based on a video game, it must be a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, because they usually are.
They usually are.
Yeah. They tend to.
Can we talk? I'm going to go on another tangent.
Yes.
Pierce Brosnan. Fucking great.
An amazing James Bond. The best choice.
He's so good. And so, legendarily, he was actually the producer's first choice back in the 80s when they were trying to replace Roger Moore.
Wow.
Could not get out of his TV contract, much like Tom Selleck and Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Could not get out of his TV contract. So that's why they had Timothy Dalton.
He's
all right.
He's all right. Yeah.
But then Pierce Brosnan rolls around and you're like, yeah, you know what?
He's fucking great.
He's fucking great. He's kind of perfect.
He fits all the characteristics. He's smooth. He's funny. He's very charismatic. He's very attractive. He's tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like the perfect age to play James Bond over 5 movies.
Yep.
Yeah, no, he was a great, great choice.
Great choice. I definitely, watching this, cemented the Pierce Brosnan better than Daniel Craig.
Really?
Very much so.
Wow.
Not necessarily that the movies are better, because I do think Craig's movies are pretty solid across the board.
Yes.
But I do think he's a better Bond.
Yeah, you know what? You might be right about that. As much as I do like Daniel Craig, and I like his movies altogether, he's a different James Bond.
He's a very different James
Bond.
He's
like a very complicated James
Bond. He's not your daddy's James Bond.
I'm
your daddy.
Yeah. So now you know.
So now you know.
Pierce Brosnan is just a cool James Bond, like all around. Yeah, he hits all the notes.
He hits everything I want from a James Bond. Like you said, attractive, charismatic, funny, action, killing motherfuckers. Yeah. He's believable at all levels of James Bond. Like, I believe that he could walk into a room and pick up any woman in the room. And I also believe he could walk into a room and kill anybody in the room.
Yes. Also, like, it's... This movie, I think it's kind of funny, and it kind of reminds me of the... I get why, and the action sequences are great, and the evil is impending and stuff like that. But it is also like, I don't know if James Bond needed to get involved in this one. Like, he just showed up and kicked a lot of ass and stuff. But it's like a media tycoon.
Well, but I disagree, because if this media tycoon is left to his own devices, he wants to start World War III.
Yeah, for ratings and stuff.
Yeah.
So we get a sense of how powerful Carver is, because he has a line in it where he's like, blackmail the president to lower cable rates. And I was like, back that shit up. What did you just say? Yeah. Like, we're going to blackmail the president to lower cable rates. And I was like, what president, first of all? Like, well, is it the president of Comcast?
So yeah, no. I think it's the president of the United States.
And also,
yeah.
how much like sway over cable rates does the president hold?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. And then also, like, it's 97, so it's Clinton, right?
Yeah.
Is this post Monica Lewinsky? Because
it would have been right around the same time, right?
Yeah, because the whole thing is like we caught him with that cheerleader, right? We have a video of him with a cheerleader, so we want to lower cable rates. Weird. It's weird.
A little weird.
But it shows you how much power he holds over just in having information.
He also does that thing you were talking about, the way he types on his like little iPad or whatever, where he just like smashes it a bunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, he's typing things.
Yeah, he does like that Stephen Colbert, just like like just randomly hitting shit with his fingers. Yeah. And I was like, there's no rhyme or reason that.
Especially
looks,
when
it's
he's
ridiculous.
Actually, because at certain points he's writing headlines for like newspapers.
Yes.
And he's just like smashing the thing randomly.
Yeah.
And it's still like typing real words. And I'm like, nah, that's not how that works.
It's very funny. Yeah. All right. So then when he destroys his sub.
It's very much actually old James Bond movies. Like if you watch Dr. No, for instance, which I did recently.
Nice.
There's there's always those classic 60s scenes where they're driving a car it's not a green screen, it's one of those like rear projection screens.
Yes.
And the guy will just be turning randomly.
Yes.
Even though the car's not turning, or they'll be trolling straight and the car's turning. Yeah.
Like, the steering wheel is just mayhem. They're just like back and forth, back and forth on the steering wheel.
And that's very much what he's doing, but with a keyboard.
Yeah. It's like the director was like, it looks like you're just sitting back.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to do
more
movement.
You got to do some action. I need make some choices.
Yeah. Make some movement on the steering wheel. He's like, well, this doesn't feel right. And like, no. It's going to look fine. It's going to look great on screen. It's going to be great. Yeah, he does do that a lot with
the
typing.
They do the same thing. And like, I was watching some old Alfred Hitchcock movies. And they do the same thing.
Yeah, any rear projection shit.
Every rear projection. They're just all over the place with that goddamn wheel.
Yeah, like they should be like crashing into parked cars left and right.
Exactly.
Nope.
They're like playing bumper cars or some shit out there.
Yeah, no, it's a smooth sailing.
Smooth as ice.
Straight and narrow. Yeah. But they're just like turning that fucking wheel back and forth.
Hilarious.
He orders his troops to shoot the British soldiers,
right,
for a better headline, right? It's like true, like British
survivors
soldiers
murdered.
Chinese government
again. He doesn't need to do that.
He also does need to videotape it, which was a weird thing that they do, and it never really pays off
at all.
No, we thought it was gonna pay off later.
Nope.
But he insists on them videotaping it, and he never like leaks it as like a Chinese thing,
right? You throw some Chinese voices on that shit.
Yeah, that's where I thought it was going to go. We thought it was going to go with that. But nope, you just...
Maybe that was from a different version, like, script. If they had no shooting script, I assume that scene was shot at a point where they had a very different ending.
Yeah, maybe. Or at least, like, that chick came into play.
Yeah. It may have also been edited out, because while this movie is 2 hours long, typical James Bond movies, 2.5.
2.5, yeah. This is a short James Bond movie.
Yeah.
But it's so jam-packed with action.
Jam-packed.
I wonder how much of that, like, the editor just fucking fixed this movie.
Probably, right?
Yeah, probably. We also get a Ricky Jay, who's like a hacker, dude.
Who's fucking great, dude. I love this guy.
He was in Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, Deadwood.
Magnolia.
Yeah, Magnolia.
He's also a world-renowned magician.
Crazy. I did not know this about him.
Yeah.
Even though I've loved his work in many films and TV.
He actually, I think, does the opening voiceover for Magnolia, which is also awesome.
Mm.
He's got a very like specific voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, he apparently is a world-renowned magician. There's a thing where he was he's the fastest car. At that time, he was the fastest car thrower.
He's a goddamn record. Gambit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's a goddamn fat Gambit.
And they did a thing where Pierce Brosnan stood like 100 feet away from him and he hit him with a fucking card in
his
face.
The forehead.
Yeah.
Cut him open.
And if you think about this dynamic, cool dude doing this, he's just a fat bearded guy.
Yeah. He's like 5'6", 340 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a bearded dude in the vest.
Yep.
Yeah. Look him up. He's really fucking cool. And he's like the hacker. Not hacker, but he's like kind of running all the missile shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is like the hacker guy. He's like the tech expert.
Yeah. He's doing all the... And it's also doing kind of like the dirty work.
Yeah.
For him.
He's the regular Steve Wozniak, right?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Wasn't that the Apple guy? Anyways, it doesn't matter.
I think so, yeah. This also, I feel like, had a little bit of like Steve Jobs.
A little bit Jobs.
Carver had a little bit of Jobs.
A little bit Jobs.
He's like kind of like self-absorbed, but brilliant at the same time. And like...
So like real life billionaires, they're self-absorbed, they're self-grandizing. I don't know, they just... They promote themselves very well.
Yeah, and he really does that. So then MI6 kind of gets the idea because he prints the headline before anybody knows that these guys...
Rookie mistake.
Survivors are... I mean, I know
He's printing the headline 3 hours before anyone knows about it.
Yeah, because the Vietnamese government finds them.
Yeah.
And they're like, we found 7 survivors, and he prints... 7 survivors before 3 hours before the Vietnamese government.
Yeah.
So then immediately they're like, again, all right, something's up. So James Bond, weren't you banging his wife one time?
He's like, hells yeah.
And James Bond is like, you got to narrow it down.
Yeah.
I'm banging everybody's wife.
Yeah.
Like all the time. But so they're like, it's actually a funny scene where M is like, you're going to have to like...
drill her for information. Yeah.
It's like pump her for information.
Oh, pump her. That's right.
And it's like pump her as much as you need to for information.
Yeah.
And we're all like, just say fuck her. Like, just do that. We all know James Bond's going to do it.
No, I like it. I like that they keep a little British class.
But it's very funny. So that's what they send James Bond in. And he goes to this party. They give him this car that he can control on a fucking iPad. Well, it's a little phone. It's a flip phone. It's not a flip phone. It's like the side.
It's a regular phone that then flips and you can like text from the side only instead of
text.
It's
like a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only instead of
It has a touchpad.
It has a touchpad, which
would have been unheard of in 97.
Yep. Now the PS4 controller had that fucking touchpad. But he can control the car with it. It's a cool scene where you see that he's like really good at controlling the car. And we were like, I wonder if that ever is going to pay off.
Probably not.
He's probably going to use it to just park the car and, you know, not have to worry about it anymore.
Yep.
He goes to this party, and this is where we meet Terry Hatcher.
That's right.
Who's
one of the 90s loves of my life.
Also, when they call him, he's banging a Swedish girl.
Yeah. Right? God damn,
because he's
cool.
James Bond. Yeah.
He's so fucking cool.
Because he's fucking James Bond, and everybody's like, oh, he's in there learning Swedish, I guess. Yeah, he goes to Terry Hatcher. Yeah, one of the 90s hot chicks.
90s crushes for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. She was banging Superman, like we said in the opener.
That's right, yeah. Her and Dean Cain, man. Adventures of Lois and Clark. The one time they tricked me into watching a romantic comedy for 4 years.
Yeah. And then after you're like, wait a minute. Has this not been a superhero show the whole time?
Wait, is that why he never fought Bizarro? Solomon Grundy and
smashing
the
into
Toy
buildings?
Master? Yeah.
The Toy Master? Yeah.
Yeah, it's because he was busy having rom-com adventures with Lois.
Yeah, and then she jumped over. She could have, I guess, in the 90s, who else could she have bagged?
And she could have gone the Zorro route, right?
Yeah, she could have gone Zorro. But you have to go Spanish, so Selma Hayek, obviously.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Catherine Zeta-Jones is Welsh.
He's Welsh.
But yeah, I mean, you know, no complaints there.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I guess Batman.
She could have been in the Batman movie.
She could have gone Superman Batman.
She definitely could have. That would have been funny.
That would have been hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, you could just, and she could have gotten the trifecta.
Yeah.
Of badasses that we
that we adore. Yeah.
That we worship.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so then...
I mean, back then, it's 97. I mean...
I probably would have been with the Val Kilmer Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, that's...
Well, and I was going to say, like, because Blade's 98 and X-Men's, what, 2000?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. She... I mean, later on, she could have bagged Wolverine, I guess.
Right, exactly. She could have been Jean Grey, maybe. Throw some red hair on there.
She was too old, right, by that
probably,
point?
Probably. Although she's about the same age as Famke. I bet you she's, like, within a year.
Yeah, you might be right.
Because is Famke in Goldeneye? Where she's like the thigh girl.
Oh, yeah. I think you might be right. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
So they're pretty close. They're pretty close. Yeah. Oh, interesting, too. Like, as far as casting, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
Who then, later was in a Daniel Craig Bond.
Yeah, she was in the Daniel Craig Bond. So interesting. I mean, she could have done a great job in that, too.
Yeah.
But Terry Hatcher, perfect.
Terry Hatcher, no complaints.
We're all like riding at Terry Hatcher high when she shows up in this.
Well, and then obviously Tango and Cash. We talked about her and Tango and Cash way back in episode three?
Before this. Yeah, exactly.
Episode 3 of this podcast, we talk about Tango and Cash.
And she knows that James Bond is a secret agent.
Right.
Right. But she still keeps it from her husband, which is a little bit weird, but right, whatever. She tells him he's a banker.
Right.
And James Bond is like, yeah, I'm a banker, you know, banking stuff. Like, I did a business earlier.
Yep. He pulls a real, what was that character from BoJack?
Vince Adultman. He pulls a Vince Adultman.
Yeah.
He's like, sure, I do banking all the time and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's what I do.
It's money and crap. I don't know.
Yeah. I do hostile takeovers in banking. Yeah. You know, I shoot guys in the face in banking.
Yeah.
I topple, fucking terrorist in my banking job. Then we also get Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, so Michelle Yeoh, this character...
It's fucking great.
It's fucking great. And it really... So, it's interesting because I read the Roger Ebert review of this movie.
Right.
And he's like, oh man, Michelle Yeoh in this movie, really great. She would be a great addition to the James Bond cast.
Right.
And I was like, Roger, you are 100% correct. Only that never happened.
Yeah, how many more movies was she in?
Zero movies. Yeah.
And she actually, you know, like in a world like right now, she could have taken over and had her own like spinoff thing.
Well, and they talked about doing a spinoff too, but even put spinoff aside.
Yeah.
The idea, and even put Michelle Yeoh aside, although, you know, she's great.
Yeah, she's amazing.
We love her.
And she's also really pretty.
Super cop and everything, yeah. The idea of having like a badass Chinese lady James Bond that sometimes teams up with him. I mean, that's the Catwoman thing.
It's pretty fucking
it's
great.
It's the Fujiko thing in Lupin the Third.
Yes.
I mean, it's
you just get like a cool female version that just shows up every now and then.
That's dope as hell.
How many fucking badass situations could she have gotten James Bond out of later?
Even with the Sherlock Holmes and what's her face?
Oh, yeah. Like even that. Like you're coming back in and out. Yeah, I mean, it's a great character that it's just squandered away.
Never comes back. It really bummed me out.
And she's really the Chinese James Bond. So they do a lot of really cool stuff where James Bond is doing a thing and then she just shows up.
Yeah.
Because she's at the same
level. She's also doing
her
own thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She also does more gadgets than he does in this movie, I think.
Possibly.
Maybe about the same. So they're at the party.
But they do it in a way that is not condescending. Like, I feel like when they do that stuff now, a lot of times it's very condescending to the hero, where it's like, oh, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Which, that's not what we want from our heroes, because we want to like root for James Bond, right?
Yeah.
So this, they make a nice balance where it's like, oh, she's badass, but he's still like, he's still badass. Like, he's not being a bitch.
No. Yeah. She's just going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool, and I wish that they would have made that character like a thing.
It's a great character, and it plays out great, and then she's a fucking formidable opponent.
Yeah.
Like, take James Bond out of this, she could have probably still, like, taken that dude down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the idea of, like, this super cool, badass, like, Chinese agent that sometimes shows up in James Bond movies and, like, maybe teams up with him for a little bit. Maybe doesn't. Maybe they're on the opposite side, whatever.
Yeah.
And they have a little like sexy back and forth. And then maybe they beat the bit. Like, it's cool.
But they were like, nope, no more. Halle Berry. That's what we want.
We did want that very much.
So then at this party, we get Michelle Yeoh, who tells Carver that she like snuck in and stuff, which is, you know, it's a red flag, but he's all about it because he's trying to bang her.
In a very Chun-Li from the first Street Fighter movie scene. Yeah.
He's like, you know, I don't like that, but damn it if I don't respect it.
Yeah.
And then James Bond goes and talks to Terry Hatcher, and then we get the sense that they banged before and they have some chemistry still.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terry Hatcher goes and fucks James Bond.
Yeah, and she has that line like, what happened, James? Was I too close? Did I make you, you know, lose your edge? Uncomfortable. Did you feel? Yeah.
Was like, I too close for comfort is what
yeah.
she says. Too close
she's for like, comfort. Yes. I guess.
And then bangs her.
Bangs her.
Bangs the hell out of her.
God damn, he's cool.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Also, like, this is one of those things where I like James when James Bond does a lot, which is he just pisses off the bad guy for a whole movie.
Yeah.
And then he takes on the bad guy. And he bangs a bad guy's wife in this.
He really
also,
is.
Also, the only James Bond villain to ever have a wife.
At least at that point.
Yeah, and...
Because I think that happens in one of the Craig Bonds.
I don't know if they're ever married. Maybe the Quantum of Solace dude?
Monica Bellucci? Isn't she married to the villain when he bangs her?
I think he's just dating. Maybe. I think they're like girlfriend. I don't think it's a wife. But it's definitely the same type.
Same idea, thing. Yeah.
But also that scene is awesome too because
and he just walks out the boat.
Yeah. He just walks out the boat and all the guards are like, whoa, what?
Yeah. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, and it's he just cool. like knowingly walked out of the boat. That's fucking great. Yeah. They have that party. We set that up. He has sex with Terry Hatcher. They also have perfect after sex hair.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome. Always. Yeah. Like just perfect. Yeah. Beautiful. I don't know if you ever had sex, but your hair is fucked up afterwards. Not James Bond. Not
never
Terry
James
Hatcher.
Bond. Nope.
Which makes me wonder how sex with James Bond is.
I think it's amazing, but it's so, like, it goes full circle. So it goes into crazy hair and then all the way back around.
I would worry that he's, like, a very fast guy. Because he's also always banging in the back of boats. And this one, spoiler alert, he bangs on shipwreckage at the end.
That's true.
Like, I feel like...
I think he's, I mean, you know, maybe I'm just projecting. But I think James, you know, he adapts.
All right.
So he knows exactly how much time he has before the villain's master plan, and he's going to come before that time.
Yeah, but, that could mean like 3 minutes.
It could. 2 minutes. Or it could mean an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you never know.
Or if you're like in a weird situation, you just want to get it done as fast as possible.
Right.
Right. So maybe like in a shipwreckage, he's done in a minute and a half.
Could be.
And she's like, yeah, that was fucking cool when we had sex in the shipwreckage. I mean, I didn't come, but, you know, it was cool.
It was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's fine,
it's cool, whatever.
But if he's on the bed and getting covered in gold and killed,
yeah.
he's probably a tender, long-lasting lover.
It also depends on how much vodka he's had. Let's be real.
Yes. Notorious alcoholic.
Notorious alcoholic James Bond. Yes.
Yeah, we talked about this. There is a scene where when Terry Hatcher shows up, he's just drinking straight vodka.
Straight vodka.
And it's like Stolichnaya vodka.
Yeah,
it's not even like really high-end vodka.
No. It's just the one that paid the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of product placement.
There's so much product placement in these fucking movies.
So then Carver figures out that his wife knew that he was an agent and
immediately kills her.
And right away kills her. And then he does... One of the cool things about Carver that I like is that he does this thing where he writes out the headline.
Yeah.
And it's
and
funny.
Records, he also records the news anchor saying the headline like a day before it goes up.
Yeah. Which is ballsy. He's
super
just like
ballsy.
Everything is going to go...
So you wouldn't think at one point one of the like fucking Tom Brokaw would be like, oh, but I already reported that yesterday. How did she die
like,
today?
Can we check some fucking sources on this? Like, I don't know if we can just like talk about these guys.
I mean, I guess maybe he's not hiring real journalists. He's hiring an internet journalist.
No, he's writing it himself.
Yeah, that's true, too.
He's like smashing a keyboard.
Yeah, he's smashing a keyboard hard. Yeah. Which also, I assume that's what BuzzFeed does.
That's also really funny. It's like Rupert Murdoch was writing headlines back then and like writing the actual newspaper article.
Right.
He writes a newspaper article because he's like, later he's like, I'm going to write your obituary right now and shit like that.
And he's writing it. Like you see it on the screen. He's writing James Bond's obituary.
Yep. Yeah, he definitely is.
Although in fairness, they do already have obituaries for every famous person just ready to go.
Yes, just in case.
Just in case.
And you add some shit like... later on, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, you know, he also shot his wife in the face.
One time.
Blake. But like, his obituary has had to change a lot of times.
There's like O.J. Simpson, very innocent man. Definitely didn't shoot anybody or kill anybody. Died today.
Eventually, like...
Heisman Trophy winner.
Spent no time in jail till like, was imprisoned for stealing his own shirts.
That's right.
Notorious
stealer of his own shirts, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. And but before it used to be like star of the Naked Gun films.
That's true. Yeah, he's really good in them.
Yeah.
And what a running back, man.
And an amazing running back, yeah.
One of the all-time top six, at least.
How do you think the O.J. Simpson headline is going to read? You think it's going to be like...
wow, actually...
Like, how do you go with that?
How do you go? Like,
amazing running back O.J. Simpson, like, dead from natural causes or whatever? Or do you go like...
NFL like star... Like, pop culture icon? And... NFL star and
accused murderer.
Yeah,
that's how you would go, right?
Yes, right.
Which is also it's a weird like headline.
It is
like a Bronco fleeing,
and then because also too your obituary, you're like had 2,000 yards in a season. I won the Heisman Trophy, one of the all time greats. Also the whole thing with the Bronco and the killing the wife and the other guy and the running from the cops.
It would be awesome
glove
if everybody
does not fit. You must acquit.
If everybody is just like. Amazing ex-NFL star dead O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
We would all be like, I don't think you should just print it like that.
If they just go with that.
Yeah. Nothing else.
Just like NFL Hall of Fame running back O.J. Simpson dies today. Yeah. He was 73 at the time. Rest in peace, O.J. And then you just moved on.
And then, yeah, it's like that's all you have. Like, yeah, he played all this. And then nothing after, like, 1982.
Yep. Star of the Naked Gun films. No one knows what happened to him after 1983. Yeah, yeah. You know?
Star of the Naked Gun films and Private Citizen O.J. Simpson.
Scratch golfer O.J. Simpson.
That would be fucking hilarious if it just said, like, ex-football star and Private Citizen O.J. Simpson dead at 73.
That would be very good.
Yeah, that would be very funny.
Yeah.
So when James Bond shows up to find Terry Hatcher dead,
mm-hmm.
He already had he has a run-in with the guys. Like, the guys try to kill him. Right. Carver's guys try to kill him. He beats the fuck out of them, and then he ruins his giant media announcement thing.
Well, he's launching his news network, right?
Yeah.
This is like day one of Fox News, and he pulls the plug.
Yeah, he pulls the plug on it. So, again, not stopping the bad guy, but pissing just off the bad guy.
I do. It's good.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah.
And he beats up those guys. Like, Carver sets guys to kick his ass.
I remember what I was going to say before I just said it was good and stumbled off like an idiot.
It was bad.
Yeah. No, but what I was going to say is I really love that Carver sends all of his henchmen out like he's the goddamn Joker because they all wear jackets that have the Carver symbol on the lapels.
Again, you go half fucking real life,
half real tycoon life mogul, tycoon, and also and half fucking Joker. Comic book villain. Yes. Yes. Half 1937 fucking dime store villain.
Yes, yes.
You might as well give him like a Fu Manchu mustache.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's such a weird fucking character.
It's...
But James Bond kicks her ass. But also then we get an action sequence where Michelle Yeoh shows off her gadgets.
That's true.
Where she like hooks on and walks down the wall while James Bond is like fighting dudes and shit. And she's like, bye.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to Terry Hatcher. While he's looking at Terry Hatcher, the news is talking about how they found Terry Hatcher in a hotel room, which has not happened yet.
Dead.
With an unidentified man who was a murder-suicide situation.
Murder-suicide, yep.
So then we get that James Bond is probably going to die. But instead, Vincent Schimelli shows up.
Classic character guy.
He's the classic train guy. The train ghost from Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's been in he's a cool-looking dude.
He is.
Think
of Vincent Price, add 40 pounds and make him bald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
He shows up and he's like Dr. Kaufman, who they've talked about. He's like a torturing guy.
He's like a torturer. He's an expert marksman, but also a guy that likes to talk for 20 minutes before he kills anybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Like all James Bond villains.
He's a forensic scientist.
Yes, yes.
So he can make any death look like a suicide or an accident from miles away. That's what he says. At the same time, they're trying to get in his car, and they can't get in his car. And it's actually a really funny scene.
It's very funny.
Because he's like, this is very embarrassing. Because I was just going to be cool and shoot you in the head.
Yeah. But I was trying to do a cool villain monologue, but now I have to ask you for a favor because these guys can't get into the goddamn car.
Can you please unlock the car?
Yeah.
And then he falls for the oldest trick in the book with James
oldest
Bond.
Oldest trick.
Which is when James Bond gives you a gadget when you're
it's
the bad guy.
It's going to backfire. Yeah. It's 100%.
It's going to backfire. Why would he tell you how to actually use it?
No.
He tasers himself, and then James Bond just shoots him in the face.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like they take a beat as James Bond just forcibly muscles the gun into his face.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, I'm just doing a job. So am I. And shoots him right in the face.
Shoots him in the face. Also fulfilling the news report that they found an unidentified
man.
That's
true. Like, I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
everything
very good.
Is, it's tying together. Yeah. Like, it actually works out pretty well for
some Edgar Wright shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It came back around. So then he can remote control the car, which he does.
Yeah.
In an amazing,
great
action sequence.
Great action scene.
They're shooting at the car. They're hitting it with sledgehammers. Nothing is happening.
And then two of the coolest things in the entire movie happen.
Yes.
One of which, so they've blown the car, you know, they're shooting the shit out of the car.
He jumps into the backseat of the car.
Right.
And
he's
controlling
it
while he's in it.
Right. And he's like trying to, you know, but he's staying low because, you know, bullets.
He's also having a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the love of his life just died, but he is laughing and having a good time.
Yes, yes. The woman that he genuinely cared for is dead now.
Yeah. His like high school sweetheart.
But his grief is like, this is fun.
This is really fun.
I had a lot of fun controlling this
So
car.
The first really fun and amazing thing that made me laugh and like squee out loud was, so they've blown the windows out of his car. And then he's about to drive over, like he's turning towards this one thing. And there's a guy there with a fucking like
bazooka
missile launcher.
Yeah.
That launches it. It just goes straight through both broken windows into the car that's trailing, that's chasing
great.
Him. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, it just
it's
shoots
so
straight
fucking
through.
Hilarious and amazing. And then they put up a giant steel wire.
Yes.
And as luck would have it.
Yes. That car is equipped.
As luck would have it.
I wish that it would have gone back and done the Hutsucker proxy bit where he sees a steel wire and he's like, oh shit, like, they never gave me anything for steel wires. And then he remembers Q being like, if you ever come across steel wires, like, press this button.
Yeah.
And like, and then these fucking things come out. These like,
it's a, like a little saw like that comes out come of out. His like BMW logo at the exact
at the perfect
height.
Yeah.
The exact and only height it would have worked at.
Also, if you are a secret agent and you're riding around in a secret agent car, why would steel wires be a thing that you're worried about at that level? Like at the driver's side level?
Yeah.
Like it was sheer luck.
It was incredible.
It was really funny.
It was
like
so
perfectly
good.
And it's also not like, it's not like big saws. It's not like a chainsaw that covers like
four
feet.
It covers like 2 inches.
It's like 2 inches worth of saw.
It will cover, it will cut a 2x4 and that is it.
And that's it. Yeah. And it cuts through the steel wire.
Yeah. And then he drives it into the rental company.
He jumps
after
out.
He jumps out.
He jumps out so they don't see it, so they think that he's still in there. And then he flies it off the building into crowded streets.
Yep.
And drives it smashing
killing
into the storefront.
What, 7, 8 people, probably?
At least people that were working there. Yeah. The people that were working there. And then he's like, yes, that went smoothly. Perfect.
Perfect.
I'm James Bond.
I'm
James Bond out. James Bond out.
James Bond out.
Yeah. Perfect.
God, what a scene.
Yeah, yeah. But the action is amazing.
It's so good.
And it's a tight
world. It's all in the
scenario.
Garage.
It's all in one garage. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. You got to give it to the fucking stunt.
Oh, the stunt
people. Work in this
thing.
Because they kind of saved this movie.
Because then it almost goes almost immediately into the Michelle Yeoh bit where they're on the helicopter. I mean, not on the helicopter, on the bike.
Oh, my God.
Running
yes.
from the helicopter.
So he stole Carver's tape. He has like a VHS.
Well, it's not the tape. It's the
encoding.
The scramble code thing that fucked up their satellites.
Yes, and it's the evidence that they need to show, because we get to that later.
Right.
They show that he was manipulating the satellites to make them think they were in international waters when they weren't.
Right.
Right. So he steals that. That's all that Carver wants.
Right.
Is that fucking box, the red box.
So then he comes after him again. He captures him for a second.
Yes, because that's all you can have for James Bond.
Yeah.
You get 1 second.
You get 1 second. He has the villain speech. This is the scene where he's like, I'm writing your obituaries, Mr. Bond.
Yeah.
That's not what he sounds like, but, you know, that's what he sounds
but
like.
But he might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Michelle Yeoh go full badass motherfuckers.
Yes, so they capture him and Michelle Yeoh, and then he does all that. Also, we get, like, he's talking to the Chinese general or whatever, right?
Right.
So we
that's
get,
when,
like,
you know that he has connections to the Chinese, which eventually you find out that it's all part of this plan to put this guy in charge of China, and then Jonathan Pryce gets control of all Chinese media for 100 years.
Which at the time sounds crazy, but now sounds
would
like
the, be the most
valuable fucking deal.
The most valuable. You would be so rich.
Oh my God.
You could make Zuckerberg suck your dick, like, if you had all Chinese fucking TV
fucking
rights.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, like fuck all that shit.
Like at the time, it's like, that's funny. He's trying to get that. But now you're like, oh my God, imagine if somebody had that.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it's the most power in the fucking world. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty funny now.
Yeah. But anyways, this is where Michelle Yeoh and Pierce Brosnan go full badass. And then they do that thing that is fucking insane.
They jump off the side of a building?
They jump off the side of the building holding on to a fucking
picture. Well, they're handcuffed together.
Picture.
Yeah, they're handcuffed together. And there's a giant banner
of Jonathan Pryce.
Much like Trump.
Yeah.
He just puts his...
Or like in Rush Hour 2.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So then they jump down the banner. They cut the banner in half, further humiliating the bad guy.
Sure.
Because again, not stopping the bad guy,
just
but pissing off the bad
guy.
Wrecking
his face, yeah.
Yeah, they slide all the way down. And then in a ridiculous scene where they smash through a window by jumping off of it.
Nope.
Yep,
not how windows work.
But at that point, they're handcuffed together. So... Yeah. What they can do is very limited. So they get on the motorcycle, and then they go immediately
into... And then the best
action
scene in the movie.
Yes, into one of the best James Bond action sequences.
Yeah, for real. One of the best action scenes of the 90s.
Yes, I was very blown away by this. First of all, it goes on for like 18 minutes.
It's a long action scene.
And then it's going through... It's Vietnam, right? It's Saigon. That's where So it's going through... Because, we jumped over the parachuting thing. That's how they get caught.
Oh, yeah. He halo jumps.
Yeah. So let's back up a little bit.
Because he finds the boat.
He finds a submarine and they get stuck in the submarine.
Right.
And they have to escape. So that's how they get caught.
Yeah.
But
whatever, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because this motorcycle action sequence is
fucking
great.
Yeah. So good.
So they're handcuffed together. So there's no easy way for James Bond to maneuver the fucking motorcycle.
Because he's handcuffed to a lady.
And he's being chased by a helicopter with machine guns.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of she's controlling one side, he's controlling the other. But then she flips over so that she's straddling
him. Yeah. It's pretty sexy.
Which is pretty sexy.
But also cool, because she's still being badass and she's still knocking shit down and telling
him. And she can tell him behind him who's behind him.
Yeah, yeah. And she's moving around on the bike while they're going 80 miles an hour.
And being chased by a helicopter and going through shanty towns and shit like that.
No, there is a very Jackie Chan sequence where they're wrecking.
Chan, yeah.
Where they're wrecking part of this little shanty town as they're driving on this rickety fucking collapsing bit.
Yes, and all this entire time, two stunt people on a fucking motorcycle.
Fucking great.
All the wide shots.
This is no CGI.
No CGI. All the wide shots are two stunt people on the motorcycle
doing
riding
some crazy
through fucking
shit.
Yes. And then the helicopter also does some crazy shit.
Crazy fucking shit.
It just tilts all the way forward to cut people in half with its propellers.
Fucking great.
Which I feel you can't do that in a helicopter.
No,
without
absolutely
fucking
not without destroying your helicopter. Yeah.
Also, you have machine guns on the helicopter, and they stop using the machine guns to use the propellers.
To use the propellers. Yeah. Although I do, if I was flying a helicopter and I could do that, if I knew that I could just become a fucking blender of human people.
Oh, yeah. You would just cut people in half?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you end up in the Running Man game. Dude.
That's true. That's how I become fucking Turbo in Running Man.
That's a Stallone. That's how Schwarzenegger ended up in the fucking
Running
Man game.
That's true.
Killing a bunch of people with a helicopter, right?
Yeah.
But no, they were just trying to get food.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this, the stunt work in this is fucking amazing. The action sequence, the squibs are flying everywhere. They're getting shut down. They're flying through windows. Then they get to a dead end.
Right.
Where the only way to fucking flee is to do the most... And actually, this should have been the poster.
Them flat sliding underneath?
No, them jumping over the helicopter. They back
up.
Oh,
they do that.
They jump over a flying helicopter.
So they jump... They both go over and under.
Yes,
so
they do it twice.
This is the scene where they jump over the helicopter, and it's fucking rad as shit.
Yeah, they jump from one building to the other while the helicopter's
through,
under
and
them.
While they're... By the way, they're running through, I don't know, a people's house?
Yes. Yeah, people's, shantytown house.
Yeah.
And also,
and then
a sex shop.
They land into a sex shop.
Yeah,
they land into
a sex shop, which is funny.
Which is very funny.
Unnecessary, but,
And then they go underneath the helicopter blades...
Yeah,
which is also super dope.
They grab a wire.
Yeah.
And then they go under the helicopter blades, which is, it's fucking great. It's super fucking cool. Again, they're not shooting at them. They're just trying to cut them in half with a helicopter blade, which if you hit a motorcycle with a helicopter blade, I'm inclined to believe
the helicopter won't fly so good.
Yeah, that your helicopter will then smash into the ground,
probably,
and probably spin around really hard because your rear propeller is still going.
Yeah.
So you all die.
Yeah,
in that scenario,
that sounds right.
But the helicopter is like, "Fuck it, dude, we're doing this.
That, we're going all in."
That Dolph Lundgren dude is like, let's do this. We're going all in."
Yeah, should he have been Dolph Lundgren? Can we just settle that for once and for all? Why didn't they get Dolph Lundgren to be this guy?
So the main henchman is a really, really white, pretty albino German guy.
Like skinny Dolph Lundgren.
He's also like 6'4".
He's like 6'4", like Dolph Lundgren, but he is not jacked.
He's not crazy jacked, but he could have easily been Dolph Lundgren.
He should have been Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. And I mean,
do you think they thought about Dolph Lundgren, but then they're like, well, there's no way Pierce Brosnan beat Dolph Lundgren in the final fight.
That's actually probably true. Yeah. Like, Dolph Lundgren would just crush his head.
He crushed his head in one
with
blow.
His bare hand.
They're like, oh, it's too unbelievable that Pierce Brosnan beat him. So we got to get this skinny guy.
Yeah, we got to get this skinny guy that Pierce Brosnan
could maybe beat.
He's only like an inch and a half shorter than him. Yeah. Like, you can get a good fight out of that.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Yeah. It's no way that this giant monster of a man.
It should have been Dolph. It should have been my man Dolph, like, though.
But yeah, no, he's a very young Dolph Lundgren looking guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, they throw the wire up into the helicopter. The helicopter fucking explodes. After you do this big action sequence, the logical series of events after that is immediately you stop and you take a fully clothed shower.
That's right.
Together.
It's kind of sexy. I got to admit, kind of sexy.
In the slums of Vietnam.
That's right.
Like, I was like, what? Like, first of all, I already saw you destroy this helicopter.
Yeah.
Second of all, you're handcuffed together.
That's right.
And then they were like, yeah, we're going to take a shower now here with our clothes on.
Yeah.
Very funny. And it makes me think there was a point in the script where they were like, we just have them walking and talking. And that's boring.
Yeah.
Like, what could we come up with? Probably because there was no shooting script. And they're like, we got a lot of pipes with water running around here.
Right.
Let's do that.
Let's get some water.
So they're taking a shower together out in the street. Also in the middle of the street. Yeah, we get some wet t-shirt action. Michelle Yeoh breaks out of the handcuffs him to a pipe that he can easily break off.
Yep. But destroying that entire town's water supply.
Yeah, it's gone now.
Yeah.
It's wasted water. They barely have water as it is.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. The country's barely hanging on.
Barely hanging on. fucking Pierce Brosnan just destroying water pipes.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's her cool exit where she's like, hey, I'm still Chinese James Bond. Bye.
Yeah. You know?
Like, James Bond would do that shit to a person all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then she goes and fights a bunch of Jackie Chan stunt people.
Yes. So it's a bicycle shop that she owns. And apparently her fighting style is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That the production...
The American stunt guys were like, no, she's punching us, though. We don't like that.
Yeah. I don't like taking kicks to the ribs.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Jackie Chan stunt guys, and they're like, yeah, well, we like getting kicked to the ribs.
It's what we live for, man.
It's a really good fighting sequence. Yeah. And it very much feels like a Jackie Chan fighting sequence.
Yeah.
She beats him up. Pierce Brosnan shows up.
Helps her out a little bit.
Yeah. And then we find out that this is her,
her, like, M-style gadget room.
Yes. Yeah. She's got a million guns in there, a bunch of stuff.
Like, fucking ninja stars and shit.
They do a little cool little pissing contest stuff where they're like, you do this, I do this, like, type of stuff. It's very fun.
And they team up. They go after Jonathan Pryce.
Yes. And then this is when they go, they're like, all right, we gotta go to his stupid fucking boat.
His
stealth boat.
And this is where they go full tactical outfit, because up until this point James Bond been rocking the suit.
Yeah, he's been in a tuxedo the whole
tuxedo
time.
Now he finally goes the full, like, tactical outfit. So I have skew. If you're James Bond, which one do you go with?
Tuxedo all the way.
All the time. All doesn't
the time.
Matter.
Does not matter.
You're going scuba diving, tux underneath the suit.
Well, that's what he does in True Lies, right?
Like, that's in the beginning of True Lies, and he takes the
tux off, and he's got,
or,
like,
no, he takes the scuba gear
the scuba,
off,
and then he's got the tux.
Yeah,
tux.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
You do both. I think.
Yeah, you can do. I mean, hey, get you a man that does both.
Notoriously, tuxedos are very uncomfortable and hard to move in, but you know, you got a cummerbund and shit too.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, James Bond can do it.
James Bond. Yeah.
They go. So the plan, Carver's plan, is he's going to start a World War III, kind of, put this new guy in power. So the way he's going to do that is he's going to do the X-Men First Class thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Where he's going to.
He launches one nuke and blah, blah, blah.
Hit the British ship with a missile. hit the Chinese base with the missile so that they think that each other shot each other. Right. And then it starts a big thing. And then he racks up sales on his newspaper, which is how you control the world in 1997.
That's right. That 250. Racking up
newspaper sales.
Actually, it probably wasn't even 250 back then. It was probably like a dollar.
Yeah. He also went a weird way because he could have just been making shit up about Anna Nicole Smith and still probably probably sold as many fucking copies of your goddamn fucking newspaper.
I mean, that's what the internet discovered is you can just make shit up and people will still click.
And people will, you get you get as many clicks as you fucking need. So no, but he wants to start a war.
Yeah.
They show up, they go into the stealth, and their thing is if we cause a big enough explosion, it'll show up on the radars and then they'll know that it's there.
Right.
They find out that it's in Halong Bay, which I've been to, and it's gorgeous, and it's just like Avatar world, but in the water.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just rocks poking out of the water. It's fucking beautiful. They hire a guy, and it takes them out there. They stealth their way in there. There's also a really funny scene where Carver looks over, and he sees a guy fucking around like on an iPad.
Yeah. And it's the scene from the Avengers where he's like, that guy's playing Galaga or whatever.
It's I don't know what he's got in his hand, but he's fucking with it. And he's like, "What do I pay you for?" Clearly,
that's James Bond.
James Bond is on the boat. On that shit. Yeah, like, just look at the screen, fuckface. James Bond is on the boat.
It is pretty funny too, because every spy, like I feel like every James Bond movie and every spy movie before that had the scene where like the inept security guard, and this is the first time someone was like, "Hey, dude, do your fucking job."
Everybody's like, "Oh, James Bond somehow got through." And it wasn't just a guy looking around at other shit.
Yeah.
There's a time where he's like, what do I pay you for, asshole? Like, that's clearly James Bond. So then they send Dolph Lundgren in.
That's right. Big fight.
Yeah, he thinks Michelle he killed James Bond. Gets
captured. James Bond sets a grenade. Big explosions. People dying.
Yeah, Ricky Jay gets shot by Jonathan Price.
Jonathan Price gets drilled to death.
Yes, he kills him in a really fucked up way.
It's really cool.
And it's like his drill, and he has like a quip about it, but he turns on the drill. All right, so
give the people what they want.
It's another huge action sequence. There's a lot of explosions. When the explosions happen, they find out, this stealth ship is existing. The British government now knows about it. The Chinese government now knows about it. And they're like, the only way is we got to like sink the ship now, right? But they send a missile, and James Bond is still in there.
Right.
And also Michelle Yeoh is still in there, you know? So then he kills 45 dudes, as he tends to do. He fights the British guy.
Interesting, too, that Jonathan Price actually punches him and is like, wants to take him one-on-one after he killed 77 people.
We just saw James Bond kill 77 people.
And Jonathan Price is like a 53-year-old businessman.
No, he's like a 62-year-old business dude. And he just shows up with a gun and he's like, he hits him and he's like, looks like it's just me and you. And I'm like, he's going to beat the living hell out of you.
Destroy you.
Like, what are you, even with a gun?
Yeah.
James Bond has taken the guns out of guys' hands like 50 times in this movie already. Like, what are you thinking? Like, go get in your helicopter and fly away.
The hubris of Rich. Yeah.
So then James Bond turns on the drill, holds him down, and then gives him a fucking quick one-liner.
Yep. And before he drills him to death.
Drilled to death. He already killed the guy in the printing press.
That's right.
Don't
print anything these days.
Oh, yep. Yeah, and he says that line. He drills the bad guy to death. But there's still like the Dolph Lundgren dude.
That's right. He missile his fucking leg and shit.
It's a cool thing because the missile's still going to go off.
Right.
Right. And Michelle Yeoh has these little explosives.
Yeah.
And it's actually really fucking cool. She's like, attach these to the propeller, to the like engine of the missile.
Yeah.
And it'll blow it up.
Yeah.
And
while she's being drowned.
Yeah. He drops her in with the chains. And it's actually, I was like, oh yeah, that actually comes together pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like, that is a cool way to destroy a missile.
Yeah.
He gets his foot stuck, which is also kind of funny.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren gets his foot stuck, but he's fighting James Bond. James Bond stabs him in the chest. Dolph Lundgren, still stronger.
Doesn't care.
Still stronger than Pierce Brosnan, still kicking his ass.
Yeah.
And in one of my favorite James Bond things that James Bond has ever done, he pulls a knife out of his chest.
To cut himself loose,
which is fucking baller.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Like,
drops down to give the kiss of oxygen to Michelle Yeoh while everything explodes above.
While the missile explodes and everything blows up.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yes. He saves her in the coolest possible way. He unties her, and now they're in like this shipwreckage.
And it's time to fuck.
And it's the time
classic,
to fuck.
It's the classic post-adventure James Bond fuck.
And we talked about this before. If you fuck James Bond, the odds of you dying are really high.
Unless
it's after he beat the bad guy.
That's right. And you just have to wait.
You just got to wait to be in the back of a boat.
That's right.
And some shipwreckage.
That's right.
In a helicopter.
On a helicopter.
Yep.
In a car somewhere.
You just got to wait till
everyone's done. Yeah.
And then you're like getting banged and then that's it for you.
Just don't marry him.
No more adventures.
Just leave.
Do not marry him.
Just leave.
The love of God.
Do not. Absolutely.
Do not marry him. Do not give him a child. Do not have him fall in love with you.
No. Just leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Have sex that one time. It'll be amazing.
You have cool shipwreck sex.
And then you leave.
And then bounce out and be like, deuces, like I'm out. Because
that's the only way you're surviving.
You get an emotional connection with Bond.
You're done.
You are done.
You're done.
Yep.
So that's the end of the movie.
Yes.
It was pretty cool, but how can we make it a little bit better?
Well, there's a scene where Carver makes fun of Michelle Yeoh's martial arts. He's just like, ching, chang, ching.
That's true. He does. He does a very, like, 50-year-old man making fun of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe we could have made him more anti-Chinese racist.
Just make him super racist?
Like crazy racist.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe that's not how we fix this. Maybe it would have just been weirder.
It probably would have been a little weirder,
in 97, maybe weirder, yeah.
Even and especially now.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It would have aged not so well.
Yeah.
So how do you...
Because people now don't understand that the villain is supposed to be bad.
Yes. So I say definitely Dolph Lundgren.
Definitely Dolph Lundgren. 100%.
Yes. Also, possibly kills James Bond with one punch. Like, almost done with the movie.
Yeah.
So
we have him punch James Bond, and then there's 30 minutes of James Bond struggling with his brain damage and just rehabbing the hospital.
He haymakers James Bond.
he's doing that walking thing on the rails where he can barely walk, and he stumbles, and the nurse that's
with
him
is like,
no, James, you can do it. Like, Maria, you're the only one I can count on anymore.
At the very least, James Bond is in a shower having PTSD.
Yeah. about that time fucking Dolph Lundgren punched him.
Yeah, about right after Dolph Lundgren punches him.
Like, not about the 100 times he's been shot at.
No.
It's just
the one time Dolph Lundgren haymakered him. And then James Bond finds out that Polly lost all his fucking money.
Oh, God damn it, Polly. Fucking Polly.
What are you good for, man? Like, he was about to retire. He
was about to get out of this game.
He's about to get out of the spy game.
Now he's
got to
keep spying for the next 10 years. Just because you...
Because fucking Polly lost all his fucking money.
God damn it,
post-fighting Dolph Lundgren in a fucking sinking ship.
Now, that would be... If they were doing a... fucking 6'5", just behemoth monster against a regular dude, but they were also boxing on a sinking ship in the middle of the Vietnam Ocean.
Yes.
I mean, I'm paying $49.99 for that.
To see that shit. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
100%.
You're like, it's Vietnam, so I feel like you can pay off enough officials where it doesn't matter. Anything goes.
Yeah.
And you're just sinking in a ship. And also, like, be like, Dolph Lundgren is fighting Pierce Brosnan. And you're like, what?
What? In.
Like, he's a British guy. And Dolph Lundgren is a monster of a thing of a man.
I'm paying all the money for that pay-per-view.
He's clearly
making popcorn. I'm getting, like, a 30-pack of beer. It's going to be wild.
But also, all right, we're doing that. And then it comes out, Michelle Yeoh is on Pierce Brosnan's team. And you're like, oh now we got to fight.
Now we got to fight.
Yeah.
A little two-on-one tag team action.
And we're like,
or is it just a three-team winner-takes-all like they used to do between like Triple H, The Rock, and Stone Cold?
No, because I feel like the potential is there for betrayal all the time.
Oh, that's true.
But Michelle Yeoh and Pierce Brosnan equal one Dolph Lundgren worth of power,
True. That's fair.
But as it happens, immediately into the beginning of the fight, Michelle Yeoh drowning. So then you're like, God damn it, I had all the odds.
All the odds. Thinking there was a two-on-one.
A two-on-one. And it's not. Now it's Pierce Brosnan fighting Dolph Lundgren, getting hit with haymakers, PTSDing all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But luckily for him, he gets his foot stuck.
He does.
What are the odds?
That's all Apollo needed. Apollo just needed a missile to drop on Dolph Lundgren's foot so that he could no longer move.
Yeah. If only Apollo had... a missile, like the missile engine, yeah, to burn to his burn ankle off.
Dolph Lundgren's foot off.
Yeah. Then maybe he could have.
Maybe he could have
stood
won.
A chance.
Yeah.
So I think the way we fix this movie is by having it be a pay per view event,
yes,
that we watch live.
Yes.
Because it's actually a lot of fun.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for it now.
And then, you know, a lot of people die. And then we also get a sex, like, we see two people fuck at the end.
That's true, regardless of who wins.
Yeah. No, it would have been the best. Also, with the odds in Vegas of, like, James Bond fucking this lady.
Yeah.
You got to take those odds. You're like, I bet $3,000. You won $3,100.
Yep. Not good odds. Yeah, yeah, not good odds, but.
Because clearly, James Bond's going to fuck the lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, then Polly loses all his money. Then we got a whole.
It doesn't matter, yeah. And you all have a Polly in your lives. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, I think we fixed it.
And I thank you for joining us. Of course, remember to check out Blockbuster Soulja everywhere podcasts are. Check us out on Patreon. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram. Email us, blockbustersoulja@gmail.com. Until next week, I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Lundy.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.